since she's obviously not going to write it herself. And I saw it happen. And also because I feel responsible. I know it wasn't my fault. I really do know that now. But I briefed her. We both had Tempests to deliver. And I had flown one a couple of times before. Celia hadn't. She took off 10 minutes after me. If she'd taken off first, we might both still be alive. I've never had to do a report like this, and I don't really know where to begin. Maddie gave me this beautiful leather-bound notebook to draft it in. She thinks it helps to have nice paper, and knew I wouldn't buy any for myself, since, like everything else, it's so scarce. She says you need to bribe yourself because it's always blah writing up accident reports. She had to write a big report herself last January and also be grilled in person by the accident committee. She's right about nice paper, of course, and I have filled up a couple of those pretty cloth-bound diaries that lock. But all I ever put in them are attempts at poetry. Too bad I can't put the accident report into verse. There were a few other air transport auxiliary pilots at Celia's funeral, but Maddie was the only ATA girl besides me. Felicita couldn't come. She had a delivery chit this morning. Along with Celia and Felicita, Maddie and I were the ones who gave out Mrs. Hatch's strawberries to the soldiers lining up to board the landing craft for the D-Day invasion. It made us into friends. Felicita was very tearful this morning, banging things around angrily. Probably she shouldn't be flying. I know exactly what Daddy would say. 3,000 miles away on Justice Field in Pennsylvania, if it were me. Rosie, go home. You shouldn't fly while your friends are being buried. But the planes have got to be delivered. There's a war on. Boy, am I sick of hearing that. It never stops. There are planes to deliver every day, straight from the factory or just overhauled, painted in fresh camouflage or invasion stripes, ready to go to France. I got thrown in at the deep end when I stepped off the ship from New York 3 months ago, and before the end of May, I was delivering Spitfires, real fighter planes, from Southampton's factories near the Hamble Aerodrome to just about every airbase in southern England. I was supposed to get some training, but they just put me through a few flight tests instead. Being the daughter of someone who runs a flight school has paid off in spades. I've been flying since I was 12, which means I've been flying longer than some of the older pilots, even though I'm only 18. The baby on the team. There was a lull for a week after D-Day when the invasion started. Actually, I don't think it should be called an invasion, when really we are trying to get most of Europe back from the Germans who invaded it in the first place. Our Allied soldiers left for France in the beginning of June, and for 1 week only, military flights got authorized, so there was no flying for us. The Air Transport Auxiliary in Britain are civilian pilots, like the WASPs at home. That was a quiet week, the second week of June. Then, the flying bombs started coming in. Holy smoke, I can't say how much I hate the flying bombs. V1 is what the Germans call them. V stands for Vergeltungswaffe, retaliation weapon. I worked hard at memorizing the real word for it because I always think it means vengeance. Vengeance Weapon 1. The only thing these bombs are meant to do is terrify people. Everyone puts on a brave face, though. The English are very good at putting on brave faces, I'll give them that. People try to make the bombs less scary by giving them stupid names. Doodlebugs. Sounds like baby talk. Buzz bombs. A phrase for older kids to use. The other ferry pilots call them pilotless planes, which should seem simple and technical, but it gives me the creeps. An aircraft flying blind, no cockpit, no windows, no way of landing except to self-destruct? How can you win an air war against a plane that doesn't need a pilot? A plane that turns into a bomb? Our planes, the British and American aircraft I fly every day,